Today's reading is from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 18, verses 18 to 28. Paul stayed on in Corinth for some time. Then he left the brothers and sailed for Syria, accompanied by Priscilla and Aquila. Before he sailed, he had his hair cut off at Cenchrea because of a vow he had taken. They arrived at Ephesus, where Paul left Priscilla and Aquila. He himself went into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. When they asked him to spend more time with them, he declined. But as he left, he promised, "I will come back if it is God's will." Then he set sail from Ephesus. When he landed at Caesarea, he went up and greeted the church and then went down to Antioch. After spending some time in Antioch, Paul set out from there and travelled from place to place through the region of Galatia and Phrygia, strengthening all the disciples. Meanwhile, a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was a learned man with a thorough knowledge of the scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he spoke with great fervour and taught about Jesus accurately, though he knew only the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they invited him to their home and explained to him the way of God more adequately. When Apollos wanted to go to Achaia, the brothers encouraged him and wrote to the disciples there to welcome him. On arriving, he was a great help to those who by grace had believed, for he vigorously refuted the Jews in public debate, proving from the scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
Holidays. How many of you have been on holiday and have made a holiday mistake? Put your hand up if you've ever made a holiday mistake. Like, who's been to Greece and stuck toilet paper down the toilet? You're not meant to do that. Every country has its own rules and culture, doesn't it? Did you know that in Poland, if there was no cars coming and you crossed the road, you could be fined? And I'm sure there's other countries that have done that. Now, I remember when I was living in Poland at the tram station, there's loads of people all got off the tram, and this little old lady went for it. She went to run across the road, and out of nowhere, these two officers with their hats came and said, "Madam, madam, come back." Not in French, of course, but pani, pani, and he gave her a fine. Tipping. Has anyone gone to a restaurant abroad? In some places, you're expected to tip, aren't you? What about markets? Has anyone been to a marketplace in, like, Turkey? And they're saying, "Come and buy something, come and buy something." And you think, "No." But if you say to them, "I might," or "I'll come back," they remember you. They remember you. And they know multiple languages. There was one family when we were in Turkey, they're an English family, because we heard them speak in English. And when the Turkish man said, "Ah, what language do you speak?" Thinking, "Oh, English, German, French," he said, "Albanian." And he thought for a moment, said, "Ah, you can go on your own, I don't know any Albanian." I still remember to this day when we went to Innsbruck in Austria. We went on this autobahn, whatever you call it, and we didn't mean to, and it was one of these tolls, and the guy wouldn't let us go. We had to pay the money. No one told us about this, but we made a simple mistake. We had to pay the money. When we went to Israel, the Sabbath, what happens here on a Sunday? You've got a few shops here open and there. Well, in Israel on the Sabbath, shut. Everything. It's like, I can't get anything. I made a mistake in Scotland once. We went to Edinburgh Castle. Does anyone know what the Stone of Skewne is, whatever it is? It's like So basically, every king of Scotland that was crowned would sit on this stone and would be crowned. Edward I, an English king, decided to take that stone back to England with him and stick it under his chair. Really very, very, very kind of wrong of him. Now, I heard the story, and we saw a movie, Evelyn and I, about these four students that went into Westminster Abbey and they nicked the stone. So I went to Edinburgh Castle and I said, is that the genuine stone? And the guy was furious. Oh, you English people are really, you know, and he gave me a whole history of how bad the English people were. I will never ask a question again when I'm in Scotland. So that next week I will just remain tight-lipped. These mistakes often happen, don't they? Because we don't know the full picture. We don't know all the rules. There is an absence of information. And sometimes we make assumptions that the country that we're in is just like Great Britain and they have all the rules that we do. And it gets the question going, well, what do people out there think about the church? Because people out there, they make assumptions about the church. People say, oh, the church, it's a building. Which is the nicest looking church? Well, it's us, isn't it? You know, put makeup on, hair. The church is not a building. When we had children at Park Road, classes would come in and they would look at the Catholic church, they'd look at our church, and they would look at the differences. On more than one occasion, I had someone say, where's your swimming pool? What swimming pool? You know, where they get wet and splashed, whatever. It's a baptistry, not a swimming pool. And often people out there don't know what we're saying. We talk about the blood of Jesus. And we all know what we're talking about when we use religious jargon, but they don't know. Back at Park Road, the services take place upstairs. We've had a few times people just asking, well, what's behind those doors? What's those stairs? They don't know, because they don't know what the bigger picture is. They don't know the answers because they lack the information. So there are many mistakes that people make about the church because they've never met Christians. Some people have never been into a church building. They don't know the Bible stories. There is an absence of information. Just as when we go on holiday and make mistakes, it's because we don't know. We simply make mistakes because there's an absence of information. Not having all the information makes a whole lot of difference, doesn't it? If you have a peanut allergy, it's really important that you know that what you're going to eat either has peanut content or not. Okay, the information that we have is really important. And we've seen this week chaos because people have not got the full facts. They've not seen the big picture. They got information from social media that wasn't correct. And sometimes mainstream media is not correct. They have an agenda too. And so what we see is we see a society that is polarized because people don't know what the truth is. Do you know the oldest piece of New Testament that we have is called the Rylands P52 papyrus. It's in Manchester University and it's dated about AD 100-120. It's one of the oldest pieces of New Testament scripture that we have. Do you know what's on that? It's got where Pontius Pilate says to Jesus, what is truth? Jesus said in John, in the book of John, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's John 14:6. What was the truth? Jesus is the truth. What does the truth look like? Jesus. And we get this from our scripture. Jesus went to the cross. He was crucified and 3 days later rose from the dead. And over 500 people saw Jesus alive. He is the truth. You know, people say, oh, it's his truth or her truth. No, there's only one truth, and that is Jesus Christ. And so today, the writer of Acts, which is Luke, introduces us to a really lovely guy. Let's have a picture of him. Elijah. There we are. Looks like a Greek Nicky Gumbel. I don't know if you can see that. His name was Apollos, okay, which is a Greek name. He was named after a Greek god. But he came from a place called Alexandria. Do you know where Alexandria is? It's in Egypt. And it had the biggest library in the world about 100, just under 100 years before Apollos. Maybe his grandparents remember the library in Alexandria. And it was destroyed by the Romans. But apparently it had 700,000 volumes in Alexandria Library. Anyway, it was burnt down, but it was a place of education. There was a big Jewish population. Estimates say that a third of the population of Alexandria were Jewish. So here we have a guy from Alexandria who was a Jew called Apollos. I'm sure he was very studious, like many people in Alexandria. He knew the Old Testament back to front, like the back of his hand. He knew the Bible. And he had some kind of faith. And so Luke introduces us to Apollos. And Luke, he was a Greek Christian, writing about the early church. So this Apollos character was really important to the early church. Now, what was Jesus's command to his disciples? To wait in Jerusalem, you will receive the power of the Holy Spirit, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Remember that from Acts 1? And the whole gospel, the whole book of Acts, we see the church spreading out, the word of Christ going up to Syria, going to the Samaria, and then venturing out into modern-day Turkey and modern-day Greece. And we see that through Paul. Paul goes on mission, and we go to the next slide, Elijah. And I know that I'm not very good at geography, but that's just a rough idea of Paul's second mission. You can see that he went up one way and he's on his way home. So when we finish this part of Acts, it's when Paul finishes the end of his second mission. Now, last week when Chris preached, he introduced you to a couple. Do you remember that name of a couple? Priscilla and Aquila. And so, Paul was in partnership with people from within the church. If we go to the next slide, Elijah. Partnership. Partnership was really important. Often when we think of St. Paul, because St. Paul is such a revered person, we forget about everybody around St. Paul. But we've already gone through Acts and we've seen Barnabas, haven't we? Silas, Timothy, Priscilla and Aquila. Paul didn't do this on his own. He had a team of people. He was in partnership with others. And just as an aside, Priscilla is a woman and she was in a teaching position. She was teaching Apollos. But I'll leave that there for those who want to talk about whether women should be teachers or not. But we know that Apollos was part of this, because in 1 Corinthians 3:6, this is what Paul said about Apollos. I planted the seed in Corinth, in Greece. I planted the seed. That meant that he did the groundwork. He told people about Jesus Christ. Apollos came along and he watered it, but God has been making it grow. So in this verse, Paul implicates that Apollos and him are working together with the spread of the gospel. And that's a challenge for you and me, because there's no spectators in church, okay? Sometimes when I was doing youth work and people wanted a service that was a youth or children's service, it could venture in being entertainment. And it's people sat there watching what goes on at the front. You are not a spectator. If you are part of church, it means that you are part of a team. You are part of the family of God. Okay? Amazing with what people are saying out there about immigration and all sorts. When it comes to Jesus Christ, all of you are my brothers and sisters. If you know Jesus, you are my brother. If you know Jesus, you're my sister. We are a family. There are no spectators in the church. 1 Corinthians tells us that we're a body of believers. We're not a group of individuals. And sometimes we come to church and we talk about, what did I receive? What did I get out of the sermon? What groups can I join and enjoy? And all that's great, but we're not. We're here to give. We're here to minister. You have a part to play in church. There are not just groups. You've all got a voice. You can all pray. There are lots of things that you can do. We need to work together in partnership. Jesus didn't actually need the 12 disciples. You do know that. When Jesus chose his 12 disciples, he could have actually said, you know what? I'm the Son of God. I can do what I want. But he chose 12 very young, probably very naive young guys. He didn't need them, but he chose to, because God wants you to work in partnership with him as his family. So if you don't feel part of something, come and speak to the leadership team. Come and speak to me, because there's lots of things that you can do to be involved in this church. That's the first point, partnership with the church. You're not alone. Second of all, to see the bigger picture, partnership with the gospel. Now, if you have ever walked in and you didn't know the movie Jaws, and you walked in and people were watching halfway through Jaws, you'll be saying, why are they trying to kill that poor shark? But if you were there at the very beginning, you'd actually understand the context of the story. We have a bigger picture, and Apollos didn't know what the bigger picture was. He walks through the door of a synagogue, and he's a brilliant preacher, a lot better than me. Probably, I would even say, probably he may have been as good, if not better, than Paul up preaching. And there we have Priscilla and Aquila. And they're sat there, and Apollos comes in, and Apollos is just an amazing speaker. And everyone's thinking, oh, wow, what a speaker. Has anyone ever heard anyone preach and go, wow, what a speaker? Some people, that's Nicky Gumbel, Billy Graham. When I was younger, it was Steve Chalk. You just think, what a communicator. That person can really communicate. Well, Apollos came in. He believed in Jesus. It says that he knew about Jesus, but he didn't know the full picture. He knew the Old Testament, which meant that he knew that there was a Messiah, and that Messiah was Jesus Christ. Do you know there's over 300 prophecies in the Old Testament about Jesus coming? And probably Apollos knew most of them. But he didn't know the whole story. And so Priscilla and Aquila, they get hold of Apollos and said, Apollos, come to our house. We want to talk to you about Jesus Christ and the full gospel. If you know Jesus, if you follow him, you know the full gospel. You know that Jesus died for you. You know that you're a sinner. You know that you have to repent and turn away from that life. You know that he will fill your life with the Holy Spirit and you will be born again. You know that you are forgiven. And so many people don't know that message. That's why in Matthew, Jesus says, go and make disciples. Be my witnesses. People don't know what a Christian is. People don't have the full gospel. I'll tell you what it looks like sometimes today when people don't have a full gospel. Everyone out there, when they complain about Christians or about religion, they'll say, but I thought God is a God of love. Notice that. They all know somewhere that isn't God the God of love? They know that bit. I know that bit, you know that bit, but they don't know that they are a sinner. And they don't know that they have to give up and repent from their sin. That is part of the full gospel message. And what happens is that when people don't know the full picture and hard times come, they fall away. Well, I don't have to give that up, but I don't know why God's not doing something in my life. They walk away because it's not the full gospel. They've been sold something that is not real. It's a fake gospel. Apollos didn't know the full gospel. And Aquila and Priscilla, they sat him down and they taught him. My third and final point. A partnership in humility. Has anyone met anyone intelligent? Has anyone met everyone? You think that person, his IQ or her IQ level is far above mine. When I look at Apollos, he's very clever. You know, Luke says Apollos came along. I just think he had a teachable spirit. If I was Apollos and I know all of this, I'd be tempted to say to a Priscilla and Aquila, save it. I know everything about the Old Testament. There's nothing that you can tell me that I don't know. I've been studying about this, and you're going to tell me something that I don't know? He had a teachable spirit. How easy is it for you to learn? How easy is it for you, especially if you have a husband or wife, to admit that you don't know the answer, or perhaps you got it wrong? Okay. Proverbs 9:9, instruct the wise and they will be wiser still. Teach the righteous and they will add to their learning. Apollos was ready to learn. He didn't know all the answers, even though he was so knowledgeable, with an IQ that probably is twice the size of mine. He was teachable. He didn't know everything, but he was willing to learn. We have a saviour who was humble, just like Apollos. We know the very famous verses from Philippians 2, don't we? Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. We know Apollos was humble. He was a big hit in Corinth. Many people loved him. And an argument broke out in Corinthians. We read that there was an argument. People saying, oh, Paul, we love Paul. What a great preacher. And these people said, oh, well, Apollos. I prefer Apollos. I'll come to his sermons. And then we had Cephas, Peter. Oh, no, wait a minute. You like Paul, you like Peter. Peter's our hero. And Paul had to say, enough. Jesus, he should be the person. Stop going on about me, Paul. Stop going on about Apollos. Stop going about Cephas. And notice Apollos' name was in the same breath as Paul and Peter. Can you imagine if someone said that about your name? You know, oh, St. Peter, St. Paul, St. Jonathan. It would like, no, I'm not on their level. That's how much they appreciated Apollos. But he was humble because you know why? At the end of 1 Corinthians 16, Apollos doesn't want to go to Corinth. He knows there's a problem. He could go there and say, hi everyone, I know everything, Paul, oh, don't listen to Paul. He said, no, I'm not going to go because I don't like this. This is not right. I'll go when everything is right. That's what Apollos was like. He saw what was going on. He was humble. So let's conclude. Apollos was an exceptional and gifted speaker, really important to the life of the early church. He saw that he was part of a bigger picture, He was part of the church, and he partnered with people within the church. In verse 27 of the chapter 18, which you read here, isn't it lovely? Brothers and sisters encouraged him. They wrote a letter for him to take to Corinth to say, this guy is welcome in the Church of Christ. And he went with confidence, debating, knowing the full message, because Aquila and Priscilla taught him the full message of Christ. He debated with the Jewish people there. And from the scriptures, he proclaimed that Jesus was the Messiah. Let us partner with our church. Let us partner and know the gospel. And let us be humble in that. Let's ask God to use us. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, there is so much we can learn from your scripture about Apollos and his attitude. And Lord, we come to you and we say, we don't know it all. We absolutely don't know it all. So forgive us when we're proud. Forgive us, Lord, when we don't have a teachable spirit. Forgive us, Lord, when we can become arrogant. Lord, forgive us when we've taken a back seat when actually we should be involved in church, or perhaps as a ministry that we should be involved with. And on the opposite note, Lord, sorry when we've made church about ourselves and not about you. So, Lord, we want to partner with you. We want to be part of your plans. We are a family of God, and we want you to lead us. Amen.